interception fisheries and some of the conflicts that arise between, say, False Pass, Chignik, Kodiak, Cook Inlet. You can either say concur with what he said or maybe have a different perspective on some of those intercept fisheries.
No, I concurred with a lot of that to the most degree. There's some fisheries where it's simply an allocation issue between different, commercial fishing registration areas, or there might be issues where you have true escapement needs not being met, or subsistence, which of course has a higher priority under the law, where you might have to look at it a little differently. But, basically it does, in most cases, boil down to sharing the burden in your relative proportion on the stock of concern.
Again, the Aquaculture Association, the programs throughout the state, do you have a positive, negative, supportive, non-supportive attitude toward aquaculture?
I think they've provided some tremendous benefits to a lot of the areas of the state, and I am supportive of the program.
Some of these new proposals that we've been running through with different fishing organizations throughout the state about trying to revitalize the industry, particularly salmon, and the task force goals that we hope will come out of them. Where do you see the role of the Board of Fisheries relating to whatever comes out of the Salmon Task Force or some of these bills that we're trying to stimulate the industry?
Well, it was also mentioned earlier very well that, and it's kind of nice going third because everyone else says the good answers first and you can just fall back on them. But, it's not up to the Board of Fisheries to necessarily come up with the answers. The stakeholders and, the fishermen and the user groups need to come up with the suggestions. And it's the board's job to kind of help massage them and make them fit, make them meld with conservation needs or, certain allocations between different groups. But the solutions need to be brought to us, or some proposed solutions, and we enact those. We don't.
Okay. And I got one more before, and it's regarding agenda change request that has come out of, it takes things out of cycle, and it provided a lot of consternation with certain groups over the years. And it goes back to the conservation issue. How do you feel the Department of Fish and Game's role fits in with the conservation agenda changes that often take place?
Well, I think they do have a very important role in deciding which agenda change requests should be brought up. If you look at the board's criteria for accepting agenda change requests, it's a rather stringent set of requirements. However, you can always kind of massage things a little bit to get something in under a certain thing, but the authority of the department or the recommendations of the department and the conservation needs should be one of the primary reasons for accepting something out of cycle. These meetings are long enough, and to have issues come up that are oftentimes much larger than the surface value of the agenda change request really puts a much higher burden of time and effort on the Board of Fisheries.
I think a lot of it has to do with the stability that the sport charter, personal use, subsistence and commercial entities feel they would like to see in the board process, and I think that's where most of the concerns I've heard and why the board needs to stay on its course and maintain that. But aside from that, I'm glad to hear you say that you also believe in the relying on the department for biological management. Pretty much what my concerns are with any board member is that they do at least listen. Being a member of the International Halibut Commission, we rely very heavily on our science, so I hope that all prospective board members do also. With that, is there any other questions at this time? Representative McGuire.
First of all, Art, good to see you. Art and I went to high school together, and it's the best high school in the entire state, Diamond High. But anyway, beside all that,
object.
I have a conflict. In any event, Art, I'll ask you just kind of the same question. If you could have your ideal utopia of a board, what kind of a makeup would you see on that board? And as Jerry kind of divided the question and talked about personality or competency traits, and then if you believe there should be sort of a sport fish versus con fish categorization or not, and if so, what should the breakdown be?
Well, you could kind of look at it either way. My opinion of what the board should be is, you know, a little bit of difference, variety of regions across the state, not necessarily anything prescribed, but and a range of experience in different fisheries. I think that the experience that board members, as well as the public through their testimony and interaction, can bring a lot more information into the process than might otherwise be available. But ideally, it really wouldn't matter who you have on the board as long as the appointees are willing to be fair and consistent and, you know, make sure that, you know, that the resources we have in this state, when we're managing them right, there's enough fish for everybody, whether it's, you know, going onto the fish rack or in the freezer or on the plate or in the hold. So, you know, as long as you got members that are willing to appreciate the value of each of the different fisheries and the importance of them to the residents of the state and the people that use those resources, doesn't really matter where they're from or whether they're a gillnetter or a troller or a sport fisher or whatever.
And then just one other question. Brett posed an interesting notion. It's kind of an idea that's been Bob Penny and other people have talked about, but he posed the notion that sport fishing added value to a salmon resource. How do you respond to that? Do you agree or disagree? Or?
Well, it's an interesting way to look at it. I mean, and I would agree to it to some extent. I wouldn't want to say that sport caught fish, are more valuable than another fishery's value, because there's a lot of other things that go into it, whether it's, you know, a family history or a cultural thing or other trickle-down things into the local communities that, you know, a lot of them are just so dependent on fishing, you know, you can't really compare dollar signs when you're looking at things like that.
Okay, Representative Stevens.
I was going to ask, how many years did you graduate ahead of Representative McGuire?
1987.
I want to see how put up kind of a politician he really was.
He's on the five-year plan. I think he's 2 years old.
Okay. All right, with that, is there any further questions? Representative Faith.
Can't let it go by without mentioning the inland waterways here.
The brown water.
The brown water. I don't know whether there's any person that's proposed or is on the board that now represents it's been affectionately called the brown water fishery. Given the fact that it is in trouble, and given that there is some at least serious discussion on how, as I expressed it earlier, mitigating the problem of the lack of especially kings and chum in those rivers, where would you turn to for that expertise on that board to deal with that problem?
Well, I would say I'm somewhat familiar with issues of the Yukon and the interior through my work when I was, you know, living in Nome and also working for Bering Sea Fishermen's Association, Yukon. Some of the Yukon issues we did deal with there, but certainly not as knowledgeable as residents and fishermen in the region. I think they'd be one of the primary people you turn to and listen to get some information, as well as the department. You know, I certainly understand the crisis of the fisheries right now, and the fact that there wasn't any commercial fishing last year, and the fact that on the Yukon, subsistence and commercial fishing are like this. I mean, they're integrated. You know, people get their income from their commercial fishing that helps them go out and pursue their subsistence fishing or their other subsistence hunting, you know, and gathering activities. So, you know, ultimately, you know, what you're going to have to do is get those resources back up to a healthy status, and then hopefully everybody can enjoy the fruits of it all again. But not an easy question, and sorry, I don't have an easy answer.
Thank you, Representative. Thank you, Art.
John White does a good job. I think he's a brown water fisherman.
There you go. Miss Representative Kapsner got her plug in for the brown water, too. There. Good. Okay, is there any other questions for Art? Art, thank you very much, along with the other two gentlemen, for coming here and making a presentation and soliciting our questions. Okay, at this time we have 33-some people signed up in the LIOs. We have about half a dozen people here in Juneau. So I think what we'll do is go round robin around the state and try to take about three at a time from each LIO. I would appreciate that the testifiers limit their time to 2 minutes. We do have an enormous amount of written testimony that a lot of people have sent in, so if you could please make your comments brief. And at this time, I would like to start with Fairbanks LAO, Virgil Umpenhauer, board member. Virgil, are you on there?
Yes, Mr. Chair. I'm sitting here listening.
Okay. Virgil, did you want to testify?
Yes, I did. I don't want to do much on the testifying, isn't it? Into this, as you all know, I've been on the Board of Fisheries for 8 years, and I've worked with both Brett Huber and Art Nelson a lot, both in committee work and on a lot of different issues. Art and I worked together a lot when we were trying to restrict Area M, and I support both of these candidates for their confirmation.
Okay, thank you very much, Virgil. Now, and that's all that's at Fairbanks LIO, so we go to Homer LIO, and we have another board member, current sitting board member, the chairman, Ed Dersham. Ed, welcome, and please take to the microphone.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Well, I just want to give a little perspective from being chairman of the Board of Fisheries on these three gentlemen. I support all three of them for confirmation. And I do so based on the process that the Board of Fish has. One of the biggest responsibilities of the chairman of the board is to get the board through its workload in each cycle without going over, and so we can meet our budget requirements. And a good reason that that's been done the last couple of years is because of the experience of the board members and the ability of everybody to understand exactly what's happening and work quickly through the workload. And I've known for a year or so that at least two, maybe three, of the longstanding board members were going to be leaving the board and we'd have new members. And given the fact that we are going to have three new members, I think these three all have experience that will lend them well in the board process. Art Nelson and Jerry Merrigan have extensive experience with the North Pacific Fishery Management Council. There's a lot of work that the board currently does that relates to the North Council, and that will serve them well. They have significant experience with the Board of Fish process directly, and that'll give them a jump start on that learning curve that people talked about earlier, because it is a steep learning curve. And Brett Huber has some experience, as he stated, with the North Council, but he has extensive experience with the Board of Fish process. He probably knows the Board of Fish process better than anyone who is currently not a sitting member of the board. So from that perspective of having three out of seven new members and being able to get through our workload in the allotted time, which is a big concern of mine, I think that all three of these gentlemen will be the best. If you're going to have new members, these will probably be some of the best we could have to accomplish that goal. And that's basically my perspective. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you very much, Ed. Next, we have Marvin Peters, also in Homer.
Yes, I'm Marvin Peters, the chairman of the Homer Advisory Committee. And I would have to agree with Ed that Brett Huber knows the system probably better than anybody. Sometimes I think he knows the system better than some of the sitting board members. And but I don't consider that a plus. I think that there are other things more important than expediency. And I, Homer area, we see Mr. Huber as a serious threat. We don't see him as the devil, but we sure don't see him as the best thing since sliced bread. I noticed he questioned why none of the advisory committee is asking him to come speak, and that's because we've heard him over the years. It's a matter of record. We don't need to hear his opinion because it's in writing. And it's almost always contradicting ours, either a 180 or a 270, but somewhere off of us and far enough away from us that he's doing our sport and commercial fisheries damage when he proposes extensive management plans every cycle. he mentioned that haranguing and public testimony don't necessarily provide the best information, but often the haranguing and public testimony are asking the board and people like Mr. Huber to listen to the biologists. Instead, they've been known to hire biologists who bring them in from outside to tell the local area biologists how to do their job and explain why the extreme measures they asked for should be taken at the expense of the local people who are trying to make a living, either sport or commercial fishing. We have to strongly oppose Mr. Huber, and it's with some trepidation that we do it, because there's always a very good chance it'll be confirmed, and we'll see what happens. But anyway, we oppose him.
Okay, thank you, Marvin. And I just want to kind of mention to all those listening on the net, the LIOs, and in the audience, that we will keep the criticism constructive, and we will keep it above board. And I appreciate your testimony, Marvin. You certainly were in line, but I just thought that it'd be a good reminder to everybody out there that we are going to conduct this in a proper manner. So thank you very much for your testimony. We have one more person at this time in Homer, and then we'll go to Kenai. Dave Martin. Dave, welcome. Are you there?
Yeah, I'm here. Thank you for the opportunity to testify here. My name is David Martin. I'm a 30-year fisherman here at Cook Inlet. I'm chairman of the Central Peninsula Advisory Committee. It was talked about in-season abundance-based management and the EO authority of the biologist here, and that they need those tools to perform their job. I think we have a real good tool, you guys down there, for this confirmation hearing on Brad Huber. I heard him talk. He sounds good. He sounds great. But unfortunately, or fortunately, the tool that we have on the confirmation is his past history, past performance. I've been at the Board of Fish meetings for the last 25 years, and this last 10 years, I've seen Mr. Huber drafting proposals, supporting proposals that are exactly the opposite of what he testified today and what he's representing. And that's taking away EO authority from the managers to manage the fisheries, disregarding the reliable science and data, and in fact hiring outside the biologists to dispute the local biologists and scientists' data, putting mandatory closures in. He's talking about abundance-based in-season management. He was in favor of 48-hour windows in a fishery that used to be ran by the hour. So now the fish can steam in the river for 48 hours, 2 days, and the biologists have their hands tied and they can't do anything. He supported the closures on the silver fisheries, where you can't retain a silver after October 1st for the local sports fishermen. These are all controversy to what he stated. And
okay, Dave, could you wrap up, please?
Yep, I'm going to wrap up real quick. There's a lot of people in this state are qualified. And the controversy of the Board of Fish will just continue and probably escalate under Mr. Huber's confirmation. And I think it's the best interest of the state, the fisheries, and the people that depend upon these fisheries, both recreation and for their livelihoods, to have a person that will truly represent the fisheries and biological management and using the science available. So thank you very much, and please consider all the information that you guys have received here in the last several weeks on this, because this is serious business. We're fisheries here that's been basically almost regulated out of business. So take this all seriously and to heart, and I see no humor in it. So thank you very much.
Okay, Dave, thank you very much. Okay, now we're going to go to the Kenai LIO and take three people. Irv Carlisle is first, former board member. Irv, I'm sorry.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Little bit of background. I originally was a Kenai River fishing guide back in the mid-70s. Actually, back in those days, you didn't even have to have anything other than a business license. I've been a 30-year-plus businessman in Soldotna. I served two terms as president of the Soldotna Chamber of Commerce. I served on a lot of boards, both nonprofit and profit. My fisheries background, I've been involved for more than 30 years in fisheries issues locally here. I spent 13 years as a secretary, not treasurer, we never had any money, but secretary of the Soldotna Fish and Game Advisory Committee. I've been appointed by five different governors to fisheries issues around the state of Alaska. I was on the original Kenai River Task Force. I was vice chairman of the original Kenai River Special Management Area Board. I was chairman of their River Fisheries Committee. I was later reappointed to that position. And I was a member of the Alaska Board of Fisheries, where I served as vice chairman. I'm opposed to Brett Huber's confirmation to the Board of Fisheries, and not because of any particular issue. Because of my involvement over the years, I get a lot of phone calls and conversation with people regarding fisheries issues. I've never once opposed nor promoted a nominee to the board in the past, but I have my phone and my email has been clogged with people calling me about Brett Huber and their opposition, and one term is consistent throughout all these people, and that's arrogant. And I know from my experience on the board, you have to be a good listener. I've listened to Brett Huber today. If I were taking everything he said today at face value, I'd be suggesting that he be our commissioner of fish and game, not just on the board of fish. But I don't feel a Mr. Huber would be has the qualities to be a good board member. Thank you.
Thank you, Irv, and thank you for giving it the time. Irv, actually, I want to ask you a question about the subcommittee process. Having served on the board, what are your thoughts on how that subcommittee process is working, or is it?
I don't like the committee process. I think the process that's open, where everybody in the public, and I've had my foot in my mouth as much as anybody has. I've made a statement that you can bet if you say something in error. The fisheries are so complex statewide. I mean, we go to sea cucumber fisheries in Southeast. We go to fatty herring in Nelson Island. The issues are so complex, there's nobody that can understand all of them. And during a committee meeting, people can say things that never get challenged. But when it's done in an open forum, and we did all of our deliberation when I was on the board in front of the public, you can bet when you take a break, you're going to have somebody correcting you. And I think it's a much more open process. I think the public gets to participate in a great deal more, and I think everybody is served better by an open process. I don't like the committee.
Okay, thank you. Representative Fate has a question as well.
Yeah. You said the main thing problem you had with Mr. Huber was his arrogance. Would you say that he did a good job of administering the policy that the board that he worked for promulgated?
I'm not sure I understand your question. If he did a good job...
He testified that the board that he worked for made policy. Did he do a good job in carrying that policy out?
That's a good question. Having not been present during all of his actions that he's done, I can't answer that question. If I was there, I could say whether or not. I know certain things that I did hear him say. I question when I've read written testimony contrary to what he said he supports. I believe wholeheartedly in his statement that he's given a half hour ago. I couldn't disagree with anything he said, but having not been there present, I don't want to rely on somebody else's secondhand information to make my judgment. I'd rather make it by being present, and I wasn't, so I can't make that judgment.
Okay, May I follow through?
Yeah, please do, Representative Fate.
But yet, on the other hand, you just stated that you'd had numerous calls and letters opposing him, and yet you took that as a reason to object, or was it the reason that you thought that he was arrogant?
Well, that's one of the reasons, and the other reasons is because I have been in meetings where he has been, and I concurred with those assessments.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Representative Fate. Thank you very much, Eric, for your comments, and we'll move on to Herman Fandel. Herman, would you try to keep to the two-minute limit, please?
You bet. Mr. Chairman, committee, my name's Herman Fandel. I'm a 34-year resident of Alaska. I own a commercial fishing permit. I'm a sport fisherman, and I'm a licensed Alaska guide. I'm the owner of three Alaska businesses that rely on Alaska fish. My family and I have known Brett Huber and his family for many years, and I know him to be a fine, honest, hardworking person. Brett is confident. He is not arrogant. Brett will do an excellent job on the Alaska Board of Fisheries because he knows how the board works, and as you have just heard, he is very knowledgeable on Alaska fisheries. I highly recommend the confirmation of Brett Huber to a position on the Board of Fisheries, and I truly believe that all Alaskans would benefit from Brett Huber being on this board. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Herman. Next, we have Irene Fandel. Irene?
My name is Irene Fandel. I have lived in Kenai for 34 years. I sport fish and I sport hunt. I also am the owner of Irene's Lodge. Fish is why my business prospers. I would like to recommend Brett Huber's confirmation to the Board of Fish. Brett has worked hard in the past for the Alaska fisheries and will be a knowledgeable addition to the group. I would feel secure knowing he is looking out for all our interests. Please confirm Brett Huber to a position on the Alaska Board of Fisheries. Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Irene. At this time, we'll go to the, Latinkina. Anchorage LIO, Dick Dworsky. Dick, are you there?
Mr. Dworsky had to leave, but he did fax on written testimony.
Okay, we'll accept his fax testimony. Thank you. We also have Bix Bonney. Bix, are you there, please?
Yes, I'm here, and thanks for the opportunity to address you. My name is Bix Bonney. I'm a 51-year resident of the state of Alaska and a past member of the Board of Fisheries. I own and operate North Star Adventures Incorporated, a guiding institution. I testify today in support of the appointment of Brett Huber to the board. I, along with Bob Penny, created Kenai Sport Fishing a number of years ago. As executive director of that organization, Brett Huber has been highly successful in carrying out the goals of this organization. These goals are the conservation of the species, the preservation of the riverbanks, and the education of the public in accomplishing these goals. Brett Huber has an in-depth knowledge of fisheries management and has proven to be a very effective leader in that field. I have never known him to involve himself in any action that would be other than beneficial to the fisheries of the state. Like any strong leader, and I repeat, Brett is a strong leader, he has those who take pot shots at him. But if you invest the adverse statements of some, you will find that just about all of them have no basis in fact, but rather basis in personal interest. Brett is a strong leader. He is not arrogant. He knows where he's going. He knows how to get there. I urge you to look with favor on Brett Huber's appointment to the Alaska State Board of Fish. Thank you.
Okay, thank you very much, Bix. Ellie Snavely. I pronounced that right?
Yes, that's correct.
Welcome, Ellie. Go ahead.
I am an Oregon resident, and for the last 7 years, I've traveled every summer to the Kenai River for its wonderful fishing and truly beautiful scenery. I testify today in support of the appointment of Brett Huber to the Alaska State Board of Fish. I have observed the diminishing numbers of king and silver salmon and have been extremely happy to see Mr. Huber taking the lead in effectively carrying out the action in the conservation of the salmon species. Speaking as a tourist to this state, I believe that if we were to have more efforts in this area, it surely would be for the betterment of us all. and I highly recommend the appointment of Mr. Huber to your Alaska State Board of Fish.
Okay, thank you very much. And since we've only got one more in Anchorage, LAO, Sam McDowell, would you like to testify now, please?
Yes, I'd like to testify. My name is Sam McDowell, and I came here in 1948, and I've been involved in fisheries for at least 50 years. And I'm going to speak very favorable of Brett Huber, and there's several reasons that I'm going to speak that. Brett has spoke out many times on what do we need to do. Number one was he really supports habitat number one, resources number two, and users number three. Because Brett knows that the Board of Fisheries does not support, if the Board of Fisheries does not support habitat one, resources two, and users three, there will be no resources for the users. And this is really important. And I have been deeply involved in fisheries. In fact, I came to Juneau years ago and testified at their request of the House and Senate Resources. And I left the big documents there rolled up about 6 inches in length. And Brent, you know, he supports the sustained yield. And I've been very informative when he asked me questions about resources, because I've been there. And Cookin is in trouble, resources. Brett is a very, very, very important for his activity because he realizes, you know, we have no hydroelectric dam problems, we have no stream pollution, we have no Judge Bolt decisions, and he doesn't want the Kenai to end up like the Columbia River. And when he takes and goes and makes a move like he moves, in fact, I will bet right now, anybody wants to bet with me, that if we don't do something now, the king salmon fisheries and sport fishes in the Kenai River will be over. I remember in 1951 when the commercial fishermen took 158,000 kings and then they opened the thing up for 5.5 days a week. And what happened? 20 years later, it was down to 10,000. And whoever's going to be on that board is going to have to take and do their resources. And Brett now has a copy of the records that I prepared years ago. It's a complete records from 1893 up till year 2001. Huh?
Okay, Sam.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah. Okay, thank you very much, Sam. Okay, now we'll go to the Matsu LIO. We have one person there, Bruce Knowles. Bruce, are you there?
Yes, I'm here. I'm Bruce Knowles. I serve on the Matsu Advisory Committee, and we had voted earlier in the year to support the appointment of Brett Huber to the Board of Fisheries. Over the weekend, I did another poll of all the members, and we still support his appointment to the Board of Fisheries. We have worked with Brett on numerous occasions. Our runs have been in trouble up here for 10 or 15 years, and working with Brett, he's helped us to overcome some of the problems. He's helped us to get new plans that are getting our fish back into the valley. I've known Brett for 10 years personally, fished with him, and I know him to be an honorable person, and I know that anybody that sticks their heads up and goes against the current quite often gets pot shots, and I feel like that Brett's getting pot shots that he doesn't deserve, but I know that he will do the right thing on the board, and all I can say is I strongly hope that you will vote for his approval and confirmation to the Board of Fisheries, because with his knowledge, we're going to be able to keep from losing our runs the way they have in Oregon and Washington. Thank you.
Okay, thank you very much, Bruce. Now I'll go to the Juneau LIO off-net. We have one person signed up, Don Johnson. Don, are you there?
Yeah, this is Phil Dotner. Don Johnson.
Oh, okay. It said you were off-net.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm Phil Dotner off-net.
Okay, go ahead, Don. Don?
Yeah. Hang on just a second.
You got 2 minutes. Hello.
Okay. I'm on it.
You're on the air.
I support, in general, all competent common user representatives to the Alaska Board of Fish. And that being said, I also will say that I do oppose some of the ideas that Mr. Hubbard has in the way of management, especially on the Kenai River. Sometimes he is difficult to approach with opposing ideas, the hook and release mentality. may sound like an effective way to manage fisheries, but carried out to its basic destination, you end up basically taking fish away from Joe Fisherman from being able to take them home for dinner. And I don't necessarily agree with that ultimate conclusion, which many people around the state are now making. I'm a 20-year sport fish guide myself down here, and I actually can stand to make a lot of money off of turning everything into hook and release, but I can't see actually putting that onto line to actually sacrificing that catch and release mentality to people putting something on the dinner table. And I guess so the bottom line is I both support Art and Brett's appointment to the Board of Fish, but there are quite a few things that I disagree with these two, but I can't really disagree with any common user being appointed to the board since it's been so lopsided from the other side, from the limited entry perspective for so many years. I really can't come against anybody that would have the gumption to get up and jump into the frying pan on this issue and actually put their time and effort on the line to take on these issues. So that's it.
Okay. Thank you very much, John.
Thank you.
Okay, now we'll go right here in Juneau. I get my Juno list. Okay, Carl Rozier. Carl, if you would, please.
Thank you, Mr.
Carl,
Chairman.
Because a lot of people that have come all the way down here, you get 3 minutes if you'd like, okay?
No, I don't think I'll need that much time, Mr. Chairman. Well, but I appreciate the offer.
I appreciate your brevity.
There it again.
Actually, runners now up.
Mr. Chairman, my name is Carl Rozier, and I'm here today representing the Alaska Outdoor Council. The council strongly urges the confirmation of Brett Huber to the Board of Fisheries. I've had the pleasure of working with Brett for a number of years through the AOC, and I knew him, of course, as a legislative aide here, and I think he's been characterized as a real leader here today, and I'd like to say I agree with that description of Brett. I also agree with the fact that, he said, I'm no angel, and I would certainly vote for that, but nevertheless, in any time that you're in a leadership role and you're putting your head up there, there's going to be some pot shots at you, especially if you've been effective in terms of getting your views across and getting it worked through the system. And Brett has been very, very successful in terms of working with the board on this. He's made it a point to, in fact, learn the board process, and he brings a great deal of knowledge and capability to that board process. He'll be a good board member for this entire state, and I think that's exactly what the Board of Fish needs. Thank you.
Okay, thank you very much, Carl. Okay, next we have in Juneau, Dave Bedford.
Hey, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, my name is David Bedford. I'm the executive director of Southeast Alaska Seiners. I'm licensed to practice law in the state. I've known Jerry Merrigan for about 25 years. I first met him. One of the first memories I can have is the two of us fighting, of all of the unlikely things, a forest fire outside of Cake, Alaska. We were surprised to see that the forests around here actually could burn, and they did in that instance. I've come to know Jerry over that period of time. I want to say that my organization strongly recommends him for confirmation to the Board of Fisheries. I personally recommend him as well. And I want to tell you a little bit of what my expectations are with Jerry serving on the Board of Fish. First off, I think that I would expect to see Jerry work to protect the resource and work to foster effective fisheries to take advantage of that resource for Alaskans. Secondly, I'd expect to see Jerry to put in the hard work that's necessary to do the job as a member of the Board of Fisheries. Jerry, when he was working on the Pacific Salmon Treaty, had to dig through just absolutely remarkable reams of technical information and staff analysis in order to deal with complex international negotiations on a coast-wide Chinook resource. He was remarkably effective in doing that. I believe he'll take those kinds of talents to the Board of Fisheries as well. Thirdly, I think that Jerry, in his deliberations, will shine a bright light on all of the issues that come in front of the board. I expect him to use his incisive intellect, his keen mind, to be able to try to work towards reasonable solutions to the problems that the board confronts. And on that note, I think that what we can expect to see out of Jerry is that he will be working towards decisions that are good public policy for the people of this state, for the resources that the people depend on. Now, I want to make one quick comment about what I don't expect to see in Jerry's tenure on the board if he's confirmed. I don't expect to see a representative for commercial fishermen. What I expect to see is somebody who is knowledgeable of the commercial fisheries, who will bring that kind of knowledge into the board's deliberations to help them to enlighten them and bring them to good decisions. Thank you for that.
Okay, thanks, Dave. Next in Juneau, we have Bill Sullivan. Bill?
Can't see without these on anymore.
Welcome to the club.
Good afternoon. Good afternoon, Representative Scalzi and committee members. My name is Bill Sullivan. I'm here today representing myself and the United Cook Inlet Drift Association. Thank you for allowing me to testify. It is with a respect for this body of legislators of this truly remarkable state of Alaska, as well as with a sense of responsibility for the process endowed it by those who have come before you, that I make this effort to relate my personal experience, observations, and experience, as well as the opinions of the United Cook Inlet Drift Association, also known as UCEDA. For seats on the Board of Fisheries, we encourage your recommendation for the confirmation of Jerry Merrigan and Arthur Nelson. We petition you to deny such consideration for Brett Huber. A few weeks ago, I attended a Salmon Summit Forum held in Kodiak. With a keen hunger for a salmon industry that exhibits the vigor and confidence to compete in tomorrow's marketplace, I listened to U.S. Senator Ted Stevens and Alaska Senator Alan Osterman challenge the industry to come together with the intent of achieving a greater good and the willingness to think creatively to attain such. These two visionaries, as well as other state leaders, offered government as the entity to facilitate the evolution of this whole industry. With careful consideration of the challenges put forth at this event, as well as our organization's discussion of its past experiences with Mr. Huber, we find him lacking the leadership maturity necessary to foster or to contribute to a salmon industry of tomorrow that would complement the industry which endowed this state for such a lengthy span of her history. Mr. Huber aggressively pursues catch and release, play with your food fisheries that afford scant opportunity for other resource users. Mr. Huber has chosen to promote arguments and regulations that compromise emergency order authority given to the Department of Fish and Game by the legislator to such an extent that managers trained in biology and steeped in experience claim their mandates unattainable. Salmon runs are fluid and dynamic and demand the flexibility of in-season emergency order authority by their very nature. Mr. Huber advocates escapement goals of salmon fry, of salmon that beget fry of a size that incur mortality rates at up to 95%. Mr. Huber personally complained about the venue for the Fish and Game Advisory Committee meetings in his area, with the venue of alternating meetings changed to accommodate him. Mr. Huber has attained not one of approximately 12 meetings held in over a six-month period. When queried by a Kenai Peninsula reporter about the Kenai Soldaten Advisory Committee's rejection of his nomination, Mr. Huber expressed a veiled surprise that the advisory committee met to discuss his nomination, quote, without even contacting me, unquote.
Bill, could you wrap up, please?
Very quickly.
Thank you.
This sort of unwillingness to take responsibility for one's own actions, we feel, is consistent with Mr. Huber's style and level of leadership maturity, and is all too evident in his present interactions with the Board of Fisheries, and would ultimately serve to impede rather than to facilitate the evolution this great state is now encouraging the salmon industry to embrace. Please afford us leaders that will assist our industry in its difficult task in adapting to changes already well underway. Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Bill. We're going to go back to the Kenai LIO. Now, at this time, we have Les Palmer, Les, are you there?
I'm here.
Yeah, welcome, Les. Go ahead. You've got 2 minutes.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, committee members. I'm not a Brett Huber fan either. I don't think Brett should be on the Board of Fisheries. One of the main reasons is his obvious attraction to politics. He's run for the state house. He's worked on election campaigns. He's worked as a legislative aide. He has close ties to Juneau and friends in the legislature. He's now executive director of the Kenai River Sport Fishing Association, one of the most politically influential sport fishing organizations in the world. As a Board of Fisheries member, Mr. Huber is certain to remain more interested in politics than biology. We can't risk Alaska's fisheries in the political arena. Please vote no on Brett Huber's confirmation to the board. Thank you.
Thank you, Wes. Next, we have Dale Bondurant. Dale?
Yes, thank you.
Welcome, Dale.
I support Brett Huber's appointment to the Board of Fisheries. I respect his and the Kenai River Sport Fishing's efforts to habitat protection and reclamation along the Kenai River. Brett is well aware of the fishing issues in the entire Cook Inlet area. He is a very capable communicator and has a well-rounded background in the way that administrations and legislatures work. Brett presented a well-organized representation of the common personal users at the Board of Fish and Anchorage. That was the first hearing in which I have attended that the common user had a presentation that was equal to past monopoly control by the commercial fish interest in Cook Inlet. The credibility of the Kenai Peninsula advisory committees have been questioned by the past Board of Fisheries. That is one of the reasons there's a lot of us that do not attend their meetings. Until they get some credibility, why I myself don't waste my time with them. Thank you.
Okay, thank you very much, Dale. Next we have Don McKay. Don?
He's right here.
Mr. Chairman, committee members, thank you for this opportunity. My name is Don McKay. I live in Soldotna. And I guess I'm, for the lack of a better word, one of those Joe Fisherman types that have been getting a lot of press lately. And I say that because I don't make my living on the river. I'm not a guide. I'm not in the hospitality business. Occasionally, I put a few beans on the table by selling a piece of real estate because I'm a real estate. So for, at this time, I would like to register my enthusiastic support for confirmation of Brett for the Fish Board. I feel strongly that if the Fish Board is to best serve the interests of all Alaskans, there should be balance with adequate representation of the sport fishing community. Huber has demonstrated that he is balanced and fair in demeanor and has a vast knowledge of the resource. And most importantly, if there's any question on the viability of a given run, he would put the fish first. Thank you.
Okay, thank you very much, Don. Next we have Terry Sapp. I hope I pronounced that right. Terry?
Yeah, I'm here. Hello.
Yeah, good evening, or good afternoon, Terry. Go ahead. You've got 2 minutes, please.
Good afternoon. My name is Terry Sappa. I'm a fishing guide here on the Kenai Peninsula. My wife and I are lifetime Alaskans and own a small business in Sterling, a small fish camp, and I'm just here to say that I support Brett Huber's nomination. I think he'll do a great job. My biggest thing is that I know that he puts the resource first, and that's what we're for. So I'm in support of Brett Huber. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you very much, Terry. At this time, we will go back to Homer LIO. I believe we have two more there, and then we'll go back to Kenai. We've got a couple more here in Juneau. Then we'll go back to Kenai. Okay. In Homer, Bud Harris. Bud, you there?
Yes, I am. Thank you, Mr. Hey, Chairman.
Welcome, Bud. Go right ahead.
Yes, I guess you've heard it about all of it. You've had PMs, opium, whatever you want to call them, palms for them. And the problem I have is that for the last 10, 12 years that I've been going to the Board of Fish, well, I've been going to the Board of Fish the last 20 years, but the last 12 years it's really changed. We've had we had a small problem in the state of Alaska called the Fish Initiative, It was voted down very soundly by the people in the state of Alaska, but then the same group found a way of putting one of their members on the Board of Fish. We just got done with 6 years of him, and now we're going to get a disciple of his on the Board of Fish. Well, as a commercial fisherman in Upper Cook Inlet, I have a major problem with this, that the people in the rest of the state of Alaska should have a big problem with another person from Cook Inlet being put on the Board of Fish, let alone a highly active sports advocate. So I have a lot of respect for Mr. Huber. I just wish that he wasn't even being put on in this position. I think that he'd probably do a really good job in one of the other ones, like real estate or some other board you got. So please don't put him on the Board of Fish. Thank you.
Okay, thank you very much, Bud. Paul Seaton, Paul, you there?
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chairman. For the record, my name is Paul Seaton. I live in Homer, Alaska. Thank you for the opportunity to testify. Mr. Huber's nomination creates a concentration of expertise on the Board of Fisheries, as both he and Chairman Ed Dersham represent Cook Inlet salmon sport fisheries. I think you should reject the nomination as not maintaining the diversity of experience that is a requirement for the Board of Fisheries. Further, I've worked at the Board of Fish numerous times over the years. In the 70s and early 80s, I worked on a Cook Inlet salmon allocation plan. In the 90s, on the Alaska State Water Pacific Cod fisheries. And this last year, in attempting to develop a Cook Inlet directed dogfish shark fishery. I think it's vital that a board member be willing to work beyond single issue focus. And I think that Brett Huber will further polarize the board between user groups. So please reject this nomination and maintain the healthy diversity that is necessary to represent all the geographical areas of the state. Thank you.
Okay, thank you very much, Paul. Okay, we'll return to the Juneau, Juneau right here, wherever we are. Resources meeting, we're actually in a physical place here. And Jerry McEwen, UFA.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Boy, this is probably the shortest time I'm going to talk to this committee, but my name is Jerry McEwen. I represent the United Fishermen of Alaska. We support Jerry Merrigan and Art Nelson for the Board of Fish. I think they'd be really good statewide candidates. Thank you very much.
Could you elaborate on that? No.
Yeah.
Could be more succinct.
Yeah. Okay, well, thank you very much, Jerry.
Thank you guys for having the patience to sit here this long.
Okay. Paul Shudora.
Good afternoon, members.
Good afternoon,
Chairman Scalzi. My name is Paul Shudora, and I represent the Kenai Peninsula Fishermen's Association. I have been here before. I'll try to be a little brevity in what I do today. The Kenai Peninsula Fishermen's Association wish to express their commitment to the legislative review process that allows us to inform and to educate legislators on the complexities of the Board of Fish appointments. We would like to start a discussion with a realistic approach to assessing the current direction of the Board of Fisheries. If we overview the last 10 years of fisheries returns to the Cook Inlet area, we see two sisters running the show. The Kenai and the Kasilof Rivers are approximately 12 miles apart, have similar glacier-fed lake systems that are supportive of immature sockeye salmon. Comparative evaluations of both systems are used to determine changes in system dynamics to better manage future sustainability and production. Yet we look at the comparison model between the systems, and we see the production in the Kenai declining at an alarming rate, while its smaller sister, the Kasilof, is showing a strong, sustained return. Take in consideration that the Kasilof system is a spawning-limited and rearing-limited regime, and the Kenai watershed is a spawning-rich and has rearing limitations much higher than the Kasilof. How do we explain the downturn in production for one system over the other? Pardon me, I lost my place there. Well, we could say that the fish leaving the systems are traveling to different areas in the ocean, and they are being affected by different factors. The North Pacific and Gulf of Alaska are large by any definition, but our fluctuations in salmonoid populations due to weather or current patterns affect the individual species as a whole rather than part of the whole, a regional perspective rather than an individual strain. Entry pattern of the typical Kasilof red salmon is early in the summer, and late-run Kenai sockeye is later, but there's a definite mixing of stocks that happened in the middle of July, which is the primary fishing season for salmon for all primary users. The other main factor that determines future returns of salmon is the management of returns for spawning and allocated decisions by the Board of Fisheries. The Alaska Department of Fish and Game has a very knowledgeable staff that administers regulatory changes and policies that the board directs them to initiate. In years past, the expertise of our area managers was of great importance to the board, but unfortunately, this respect has not been afforded to local managers. They, in fact, have been superseded, in some instances denied from entering into any decisions-making discussions at several current regulatory cycle meetings. So what you might ask is creating these changes. We must look at the attitudes and the agendas of this strong arm of you, the legislature, for the answers. Or maybe it should be you, our entrusted leaders, that should ask the questions. If the Alaska Board of Fisheries were to be viewed as a corporate board, what would be the economic, social, and productivity factors that you would assess? Has there been growth and development? Has there been a negative changes to sections of the company that have adversely affected economic stability? Has the health and well-being to the company as a whole changed? How has your primary development in the industry been stabilized? Has there been radical and continuous changes in governmental regulations that have enhanced or have they hampered stability? The answer has become obvious. This board has taken a very shallow view for the future of Alaskan salmon fisheries and their development. Our state's fisheries are in a mess. We have no fish in some areas where people are in dire need and other areas where we have so much that we have no market for them. The emphasis and the direction of the current board has been to micromanage the Cook Inlet area fisheries. A current member on this board commented in February that this is his final Cook Inlet meeting, and that he joined this board with the purpose of reallocating the fisheries in Cook Inlet, and that he felt that he had now accomplished that.
Okay. Paul, can you wrap up, please?
Okay. I just want to say in 1605-221 says, the governor shall appoint each member on the basis of interest in public affairs, good judgment, and knowledge. And final, we ask you not to support Brett Huber to this Board of Fisheries. We'd much rather prefer that a new board be appointed that will view the state's resources with a statewide vision, a board that is knowledgeable about the fisheries around the state, a board that cares for all of its people, native and non-native, that protect the rights of the residents and respect the contributions that our pioneers have sacrificed. That can understand the word commitment, that are selfless in their views, that do not wish to manipulate the system or intimidate others into submission, that does not have a preconceived agenda that benefits one group over another, a board member who respects the professional expertise of our ADF&G staff and willingly enjoins them with decisions on regulatory and policy issues. That truly understands the term sustained yield and biological management. This board must have new blood that signifies the vision of an Alaskan sunrise, not the darkness and not the controversy and divisiveness that this current board has shown us. Thank you.
Okay, thank you very much, Paul. Okay, we have one more in Juneau.
I do have copies of this. There was 10 of them that for backup
information. Okay, yeah, we certainly, if we give a copy to our staff, we'll make sure it gets distributed. Thank you. Mr. Roland Ma.
Mr. Chairman, my name is Roland Ma. I live in Kusiloff, Alaska. I've been a blue water charter operator out of Seward, Alaska. I'm also currently a commercial fisherman for salmon and halibut in the Upper Cook Inlet. I support Mr. Art Nelson and Gary Merrigan's confirmation of the Alaska Board of Fish. However, I have grave concerns about Mr. Brett Huber and cannot support him because, first, emergency order authority issue. One of the geniuses of Alaska salmon management is called in-season abundance-based management. That means we hire competent biologists that can be trusted and give them emergency order authority to manage our fishery resources using their best biology and judgment. Mr. Huber, on several occasions, has given public testimony to the Board of Fish suggesting that local biologists have emergency order authority restricted. Past legislators directly and specifically gave emergency order authority to the commissioner and his local biological staff in order to conduct in-season abundance-based management. Mr. Huber is in opposition to the statutory direction of the legislature, and for that reason alone, he should not be confirmed. Second, biological and economic issues. Mr. Huber has consistently advocated escapement policies that have resulted in small smolts that have very poor freshwater and ocean survival rates. The results of these high escapement goals have resulted in small returns of adult salmon to South Central Alaska, especially the Kenai. There is an economic lost opportunity of about $12 to $22 million annually. This $12 to $22 million, when circulated through our local economy, has resulted in lost harvest and economic activity worth hundreds of millions of dollars over the last few years. Hundreds of small business owners, families, processors, and secondary beneficiaries of this economic loss are in due part to Mr. Huber's view and public testimony on salmon management. For biological and economic policies, I believe that he is an unacceptable candidate to the Board of Fish. Suitability. As we move into the future and come to grips with providing solutions that need a facilitatory, mediative, and conflict resolution skills will be at a premium. The legislative-sponsored Salmon Task Force, the 8 regional fishery areas, and the Board of Fish all need individuals with multidimensional mediation, problem-solving skills, and abilities. The current public outcry and heightened level of conflict concerning this candidate are clear evidence that he lacks these essential skills and abilities. He is a part of the problem, not a part of the solution. Thank you.
Thank you, Ron. Stand for question. Representative Faith.
I do have a question. I'm a little bit confused here. Did I hear you say that he testified in front of the board adversely to what people thought he should be testifying at, and then you later said that as a result of this, there were some problems in the number of fish in this thing? Was it testimony of the fault, or was it the Board of Fish's fault that these things occurred?
Well, I believe the testimony was given, and the Board of Fish chose to follow that.
To follow his testimony. Yes. So then it was the Board of Fisheries action that caused this.
Yes.
Okay, thank you. I just want to make that clear because as I read your written testimony, it indicated that it was his testimony that caused it.
He certainly entered that debate, sir.
Okay, thank you for the clarification, Representative Faith. Okay, at this time, that's all we have in Juneau, so we'll go back to the Kenai LIO, and that we'll finish up there. We have still a few people to testify. Mr. Reuben Hanke. Reuben, are you there, please?
Yes, sir, I am. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Members of the committee, first off, I'd like to thank you for the opportunity to testify today. I'll keep this short and sweet. I'm here to voice strong support for Brad Huber. I believe that he's an honest man. I've seen him involved in the Board of Fish process now for about 10 years. Very active, very involved, understands the process. I think he's very well versed in the fisheries of the state of Alaska, and I think he'll make an excellent board member. Thank you very much, sir.
Okay, thank you very much, Reuben. Okay, at this time, next we have signed up is Ray DeBardelabon. Ben, I butchered that.
He's not here.
Bardelabed.
You don't need to do that again.
I need a phonics lesson, Ray. I'm sorry. Go right ahead.
We have Rondi McClure next on our list.
Oh, Rondi McClure. Okay, that's fine. Is Ray there though?
No, Ray is not here.
Okay, good. Okay, Rondi McClure.
Hi, my name is Rondi McClure, and I'm a 16-year Alaska resident, and I've lived on the Kenai Peninsula for 10 years, and I make my living as a fishing guide. I've worked with Brett Huber on several volunteer activities, and I would just like to say that I support his nomination to the Board of Fish. Thank you.
Okay, thank you very much. Okay, now we have Steve McClure.
Hi, my name is Steve McClure. I'm the Vice President of the Kenai River Pro Guide Association. We have a membership of over 200. And I would just like to say that a vast majority of our members strongly and enthusiastically support Brett Huber's nomination to the Board of Fish. We believe it all just comes back to believing in what you stand for, and that is all you have to say about Brett. Thank you.
Okay, thank you very much. Ryan Howlett. Ryan?
Yes.
Yeah, good afternoon. Welcome to the resource meeting. Go ahead.
Thank you. My name is Ryan Howlett. I'm a lifelong resident of Alaska. I'm a guide down here on the Kenai River, and I'd just like to show my support for Brett Huber. Thanks.
Okay, thank you very much. Next we have Ron Rainey. Ron, go ahead.
Yes, good afternoon, Mr. Chairman, and thank you for allowing me to testify. I am an 18-year resident of the Kenai area. I have lived on the Kenai River for that time. I'm now fully retired and just a sports fisherman, so I come from that perspective. But I would like to relate a short story about Brett Huber. I also have been on the Kenai River Sport Fishing Association board for many years. And when we were discussing Brett's appointment to the Board of Fish, the question came up, Brett, what would you do if your views differed from the Kenai River Sport Fishing Association? And his direct answer, without hesitation, he said, I will do what's best for the fish and the resource. And with those thoughts and with that kind of knowledge and leadership, this man deserves and should be on the Board of Fish. Therefore, I strongly support him. Thank you.
Okay, thank you very much, Ron. Next, we have Ken Tarbox. Ken, are you there, please?
No, Ken had to leave. We have Chris Garcia next.
Chris Garcia, go right ahead, Chris.
Yeah, hello, my name's Chris Garcia. It seems to be important for everybody to let you know how long they've been in Alaska. Well, I've been here since 46. I would like to strongly support Art Nelson and Jerry Merriman for the Board of Fish and strongly oppose Brett Huber. I think it's a fallacy that Mr. Huber supports sport fish. Mr. Huber supports guided sport fish. And that's all he cares about, and when the money's gone, he'll be gone. I also run a bed and breakfast on the Kenai River, and the salmon that run up and down that river are important to my business. And the policies that he is trying to create will finish killing the salmon on the Kenai River. We need control back to the Alaska Department of Fish and Game and get our resource working again. It worked well through the 80s. When the present Board of Fish took over in the 90s, they've nearly killed the Kenai River. Now, there has been some people get rich from it, and maybe they want to continue that. But the over-escapement policies and the bringing out the smaller and smaller increases the mortality rate, and pretty soon it's going to be gone. As I said, I strongly recommend that you do not support Brett Huber for the Board of Fish. We can't stand him. Thank you.
Okay, thank you very much, Chris. Next, Dave Lowry.
Yes, sir. My name is Dave Lowry. I'm a 27-year resident of Alaska. 4 years I've been down here on the Kenai River. I and my family have been a user of the fisheries resources for that whole 27 years. I have no business ties, and I'm voluntarily unemployed through the act of retirement. It is obvious to me that the governor has seen his wisdom in recommending Brett's appointment. I believe that Brett's extensive knowledge in the Alaska fisheries, his keen intellect and integrity, coupled with his tenacity and undying efforts on all tasks, would make him a valuable asset to the board and to our resource. Despite the negative press, Brett continues to enjoy widespread support throughout the state. Thank you. That being said, I'd like to support him strongly. Thank you for your time.
Okay, thank you very much, Dave. Next we have, and by the way, for committee members, there are five more members listed to testify. It looks like we're doing pretty good on time. Bob Merchant, also at the Kenai LIO from USITA. Bob, welcome, and you have 2 minutes, please.
Thank you. Chairman Scalzi, my name is Bob Merchant. I'm president of the United Cook Inlet Drift Association. We at United Cook Inlet Drift Association oppose the confirmation of Brett Huber to the Alaska Board of Fisheries. We support the confirmation of Jerry Merrigan and Art Nelson. Mr. Huber has consistently proven by his actions and statements that commercial sport fishing and tourism promotion must take precedent over and grow without limits at the expense of every other historical use, such as commercial subsistence and resident sport fishing. Such one-dimensional thinking about resource uses displayed by Mr. Huber comes at a particularly bad time, given the statewide effort to help the commercial salmon industry recover and compete with farm salmon. We at USITA ask you to think long and hard about who you confirm to serve on the board. It is our contention that anyone appointed to the board must take into account the consequences of their actions, whether those consequences be to the resource, its habitat, or the toll it may take on other residents' lives. Disregarding the damage done to people, especially residents, should never be justified in the name of economic development. We must ask you to not confirm Mr. Huber. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you very much, Bob. At this time, before we go to Greg Bush, Brush, we have an individual here to testify in Juneau. We're going to jump back here. Pat, you want to come forward and state your name and address for the record, please?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. For the record, my name is Pat Carter, and I'm here representing myself today. I've been involved with the Board of Fish process for the past 12 years. I've been a guide on the Kenai River for the past six, and I support all three appointees to the Board of Fish. I serve on the Board of Directors of Kenai River Sport Fishing and have for the past 11 years. I currently serve as co-chair of Kenai River Sport Fishing's Fisheries Committee. The Fisheries Committee is very actively very actively interacts with a number of agencies, including the Board of Fish, regarding fisheries research and management practices. Serving on the Board of Fish is a tireless and thankless job. In fact, I'm not sure I'd wish upon my worst enemy. I'm not sure why any of these candidates want to do it. I'm just thankful it's not me that's there. I strongly admire them in any way for their willingness to serve. Fisheries management is far more a term of art generally than a term of science. Frequently, scientific information available is less than exact, and therefore the board must make a lot of their decisions based upon best available information. The board is then often scrutinized by individuals who neither bother to attend the board meetings, nor do they fully comprehend the reasoning for the proposed regulatory change. This causes a lot of consternation with some of the user groups. The bottom line, though, is that there are a lot of people out there who think that conservation of fisheries is a great ideal until it affects them. This type of self-serving mentality has destroyed many a fishery throughout the world, and I believe we must look beyond our own self-interest if we are to preserve our fisheries of Alaska. The main quality I look for in a board member is a willingness to put the protection of the resource ahead of all user groups. When presented with a choice between putting the resource at risk and placing restrictions on the users, I need to know that the board member is going to always put the resource first. Mr. Huber is exactly that kind of an individual. Mr. Huber's skills and abilities speak better for him than I ever will. Beyond that, his integrity is beyond reproach. He is very bright and seems to grasp complex issues with uncommon ease. He's objective, articulate, and most importantly, he's curious. These assets will serve him well in this difficult job, but perhaps his greatest asset is he is uncompromising when it comes to protecting the resource. I believe that he will serve the state well in protecting our future generations of Alaskans. And one of the things that I've been hearing come up, that Brett did this or Brett made this decision, he pushed this agenda. One thing that needs to be perfectly clear to everybody online and to this committee, Brett does not make policy. Kenai River Sport Fishing makes policy. And our board of directors directs Brett to implement that policy. All the consternation over the early run king salmon plan, Brett didn't make that decision. I made that decision after consulting our entire board. So if somebody wants to draw the crosshairs on somebody, they're pointing them at the wrong person. I'm not sure.
Careful, always look around before you say it.
Anyway, I appreciate the opportunity to speak in support of all three candidates today. Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Pat. Okay, at this time we'll go back to Kenai LIO, Greg Brush. Greg, are you there?
Yes, I am, sir.
Okay, welcome to the Resource Committee and Fisheries Committee. Go right ahead, please.
Thank you for this opportunity to speak in support of Brett Huber's nomination to the Board of Fisheries. I think that his knowledge of the process is unquestionable. The debate seems to revolve around whether he can remain objective or not. Public perception is that he has a conflict of interest, being both anti-commercial fishing and anti-consumptive use, when in fact he consistently puts the fish first rather than looking out for one user group. Ultimately, this should be the real intent of every Board of Fish member. Thus far, I've only heard a few mentions of the fish. It's been I support or I don't support because he's hurt one particular industry or user group. This just seems wrong to me. As to the question of his arrogance, earlier I heard someone that was not in support of Brett simply because he was arrogant. There's many emails, evidently, and letters addressing this. far as I'm concerned, he can be as arrogant as he wants, provided he keeps an open mind, listens well, considers the data provided, and does what's in the very best interest of the fish. I believe that Brett is fully capable of doing just this, and that's why I strongly support him and encourage his confirmation to the Board of Fish. Thank you.
Okay, thank you very much, Greg. Okay, Murray Fenton. Murray, are you there?
Yeah, yes, I am, Mr. Chairman. Thank you for giving me the opportunity. I'd like to speak also in support of Brett Huber's nomination for the Board of Fish. I feel that Brett will represent all user groups fairly. I just feel he's open-minded, and he is a confident fellow, but he's not arrogant. I think he's conservation-minded, he's habitat-minded, and I think the one thing people seem to think is that I think Brett, his one downfall is he would like to see some fish get into the fresh water to spawn, and that doesn't bother me, but it seems to bother some other people. So times down here have changed on the Kenai Peninsula. It's growing. I've been guiding for 20 years, and I've seen the population probably double down here, and times have changed, and I think Brett is going to take the lead, and I think he's a good man for that job. So I just want to voice my support. Thank you.
Okay, thank you very much, Murray. Okay, we have two more from Kenai. Steve Twinstrup. Steve, you there?
Yeah, good afternoon. Steve Twinstrup here.
Yeah,
and I appreciate the time and your efforts down there to confirm and not confirm. And I would like to say that I support all of the non-support of Brett Huber's, what everybody brought up today. I'm really afraid of the Cook Inlet area having another political person appointed to this Board of Fisheries. I've been attending the Board of Fisheries for 20 years now, and the last 12 years I've seen the downfall of the commercial fisheries, and I own 6 acres of land on the Kenai River, and I literally seen my bank wash away from boat wakes, and I've been into the Board of Fisheries process of the committee meetings, and butted horns with Brett Huber before, and just on this last meeting about the trophy-sized rainbow trout in on my area of river, the midsection of the Kenai River, that we can't keep them anymore because they need to be protected. When it comes to the king salmon fisheries, they need to be protected. I'm the one that sat on the advisory committee meeting in the Kenai Peninsula or Kenai Soldotna advisory committee that brought forward the elimination of the 52-inch trophy fisheries. I wanted to write the proposal to not retain any 52-inch because I've seen the downfall of the large kings on the early run, and I'd like to see those hold up and come back one of these days. But I believe that it should have been written a little differently than what the regulations state of a 52-inch fish. I think it should have been a 45 and under retention and no retention of the big fish, because it seems like that's the fish we're trying to protect. But at the committee meeting, Brett, and a lot of the guides that are sitting here today really wanted the retention of the 55-inch because of their business, and I understand that, but I don't understand that we've got to protect the resource, and there was no protection of the resource, I believe. I don't think this regulation, I think we're going to be right back in it 3 years from now. And one other thing would be the confirmation of the other two. I believe they have pretty sensible heads on their shoulders, and I would like to see the confirmation of those two. And please do not support Brett Huber on this deal there. I'm afraid we'd be right back in the same boat we were in the last 8 years. Thank you.
Hey, thank you very much, Steve. And the last one signed up from the Kenai LIO is Drew Sparlin. Welcome, Drew.
Thank you, Chairman Scalzi and members of the committee. My name is Drew Sparlin. I'm a 36-year resident of the Kenai Peninsula. During that entire time, I participated in commercial fishing for halibut, herring, and salmon. Over the years, I've served on numerous boards, task forces, and fishing organizations while attending nearly every Board of Fish meeting concerning Cook Inlet. I recognize the value of remaining active, but realize that credibility is the utmost of importance while participating in resource discussions and actions. I hope that I have passed that test. There is no problem with being an advocate of one's position or occupation, but there is no place on an important decision-making body such as the Board of Fish for a member that has so often been in open opposition to an industry as important to Alaska as commercial salmon fishing. If the present state of nominees were confirmed, there would be four members of the seven-member board that would predominantly reside in the Cook Inlet drainage, which three would come from an occupation associated with sports fishing. Even though the regions of Kodiak and Prince William Sound represent a huge economic value to the state of Alaska, they remain without a representative, and there has not been a commercial fisherman on the Board of Fish for more than 20 years from the Cook Inlet. For these reasons and others, I would hope that your committee would recommend confirmation for Mr. Merrigan and Mr. Nelson, and I strongly hope that the legislature would deny confirmation of Brett Huber. I have another comment. Mr. Huber referred to the Big Lake project. He mentioned that during this meeting that today that there was Cook Inlet Aquaculture Association. It was initiated, and that program was initiated by the state of Alaska, not Cook Inlet Aquaculture Association. It's time that you people send the message to the governor that no nominee should be forwarded that carries an agenda. I thank you very much.
Okay, Drew, thank you very much, and I was going to make that comment known. It was passed to me that that was a state program that Mr. Huber was referring to and not Cook Inlet Aquaculture. So just for the record, thank you for clearing that up. Okay, that concludes the testimony online. Is there anybody else in Juneau here that would like to testify at this time?
Mr. Chair, this is Kathleen in Kenai, and Ray has returned.
Okay.
I'm not going to attempt his last name. I'll let him do that.
I've already butchered that, so we'll let Ray put it on for the record. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Okay, go ahead. Ray, are you there?
Yes, sir.
All right, thank you for coming back, and welcome to the Resources and Fisheries Committee. You've got 2 minutes. Go ahead.
Mr. Chairman and members of the board there, my name is Ray DeBartleben, and I would like to speak on behalf of Mr. Hubert's nomination to the Alaska Board of Fisheries. I am in favor of that. I've been fishing Alaska waters for over 16 years and been involved in the Board of Fish process for over 5 years now. And the board members that are appointed to these positions, in my eyes, need to keep all the user groups in mind. And most importantly, they need to keep the fish in mind and what's best for their survival. And I think Brett Huber's appointment to this board is a crucial part of that future for the salmon fishing in Alaska. Thank you very much.
Okay, thank you very much for the testimony. Thanks for coming back.
Yeah.
Okay, at this time, again, we'll close the net testimony. Is there anybody else in the audience? Yes, if you would please come forward and Cheryl, state your name for the record.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. My name is Cheryl Sutton. I'm a commercial fisherman from Cook Inlet. I did not intend to testify today, but I actually did not even know Mr. Merrigan until yesterday, met him for the first time, although he tells me that he met me a long time ago and I'm just old and I forget. I met Mr. Nelson earlier this year, I believe it was in January, and spent very little time interacting with him then. But after listening to their testimony today and hearing their responses to the questions that the committee asked, I just feel strongly compelled to recommend them for appointment to the Board of Fisheries. I think they're exactly the kind of candidate that you would like to see on the Board of Fisheries. I cannot speak against Brett or for Brett. I know nothing of any of these circumstances that people have alluded to. I did not attend the Cook Inlet Board of Fish meeting. I was not privy to any of those things that went on. And I can't speak to those things. So in ignorance of those things, I just can't say. I just want to emphasize once again how important this board is, and I know that you all know this because we've been over this so many times. This board creates regulations for a multi-billion dollar industry, and it's not just, I'm not talking about the commercial industry, I'm talking about all fisheries, and the decisions that they make are so critical and affect the lives of so many people. I have said often it matters little to me who sits on the board. You could have seven sport fishermen. You could have seven subsistence fishermen. It makes no difference. I just want the people who are seated on that board to receive the information that's presented to them from the Department of Fish and Game, be able to assimilate that information, and make decisions that are beneficial to all the users in the state of Alaska. And I know that's your desire, and I'll rest on your laurels for confirmation of these individuals. Thank you very much for the opportunity to testify.
Okay, thank you, Cheryl. Thanks for this. This is a very good wrap-up, because that's exactly what this Resource and Fisheries Committee wants to pass on. And hopefully the legislature will do the same. Is there anybody else in the audience at this time wishing to testify? Okay, with that, I'd like to take the opportunity to thank, on behalf of my co-chair, Representative Masick, co-chairs Stevens and Wilson from the Fisheries Committee, all members of both committees, for their participation in listening to these concerns, both in support and opposition to different members of the board nominees. And I'd like to thank all people that testified today. Your testimony is very informative, it was cordial, and certainly above board and polite. There was no personal attacks, which we certainly don't approve of, but I think it was constructive. So with that, I would like to thank everybody on behalf of the two committees that testified today, took the time out. I would also like to thank the all three nominees for coming down here to Juneau, introducing themselves, making their way through the halls, and introducing themselves to the legislature. Board of Fisheries is certainly the most contentious board that I know of, and I think that anybody who puts their name up, regardless, there was other folks who put their name up and didn't get nominated by the governor, but I encourage anybody who does so who supports this public process. So I'd like to thank everybody on behalf of Representative Masick and myself, Representative Wilson and Stevens. And I would also like to thank at this time our staff, who at the request of some of the board member or the committee members have sat here for 3 hours, and not just today but other days, we put in requests unbeknownst to the folks for some water and snacks and girls and martinis and everything else that we've been. And they have they've come forth, and that's why the committees, both committees, have sat here very diligently and listened to all the testimony. I appreciate the membership from both committees doing that. And with that, I will call the Resources and Fisheries committees adjourned at this time. We will be meeting. Oh, I'm sorry. We do have to move. Not so fast. Not so fast. Okay. I would like to announce too beforehand that we will be meeting Friday to hear Board of Game nominees. So at this time, we do have a formality that we have to go through, and that is to move these names onto the floor for joint consideration. So at this time, I'd like to entertain a motion. Representative Masick?
Mr. Chairman, excuse
me.
I wonder if I could make a statement before that.
If you, Representative Masick, if you'll hold the motion.
I will hold the motion.
Thank you.
Since I'm not a member of the Fish Committee, I can only assume that they get this sort of treatment all the time, and we haven't had that. I'm wondering if Friday you will be treated to
I would hope Resources staff can come up with the same amenities that the Fishery staff has. We have smoked salmon, lox, and squaw candy, oysters. It's been pretty good. So we'll try.
I just have to make a correction for the record. Jen, our resource staff aide, actually sent around the note, and in conjunction with fisheries staff, Katrina came up with this. So.
Okay, great. It was a joint effort between the two committee staff.
I don't know how they do it.
Thank you for that clarification, Representative. Okay, with that, I'm sorry, Representative Massey, if you would, please.
Thank you, Mr. Co-Chairman. I move that the Resource Committee move out of committee with move it out of committee to the full floor for the full floor of both the House and the Senate to take the names up for confirmation at the date and time whenever it is announced for the floor.
Okay, we have a motion to take
and that would be Jerry Murrigan, Art Nelson, and Brett Huber.
Okay. Is everybody clear on the motion to move the names out of committee to the floor for joint confirmation with personal recommendations? Representative Coggio, was that the... Okay, for clarification, we will pass this out of committee with personal recommendation. Hearing no objection. Hearing no objection, the motion passes. And with that...
Fisheries have to make the same...
Pardon me? Yeah, some people have... Now, if you're on joint... if you're on both committees, you have to sign each ledger. So please, if you'll stay for that. Otherwise, thank you very much for...
Fisheries.
There needs to be a separate motion for fisheries.
Yeah. Oh, you do? I'm sorry. Okay, boy, I'm getting corrected.
You have
all
to get some
all right, with that.
Freshman.
Yeah, that's right. Thank you, Representative. Representative Senior Green. Okay, we need a motion for the Fisheries Committee. Representative Wilson.
Okay. I move that we move along for confirmation Art Nelson, Jerry Merrigan, and Brett Huber. For recommendations onto the floor with individual recommendations.
Okay, thank you very much. We have a motion on the floor from the Fisheries Committee to move out the nominees with personal recommendations to the joint floor. Is there objection? All right, hearing none. With that motion passes. And at this time, anybody has the last word, they better get it.
Any more corrections?
All right, the gavel's coming down. Thank you very much, all, for attending and your participation.